Good afternoon, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is Blake Ruby. How are you? I'm doing okay. It's been 2 weeks now, actually 3 weeks, since I've had in-live radio show. The last two Saturdays were related to a cruise. In other words, I wasn't here, and I asked BBS Radio to play a rerun because the Saturday before, the 28th of August, we left to go on a cruise. We were on the cruise ship at that time, and it was awesome. I'll tell you more about that later. And then we came back last Saturday, and so we'd driven all day back from Galveston to San Antonio, and I was tired, and I asked him to play a rerun for that show. And so the last time, actually, that I was live was the 21st of August. Today is the 11th of September, a very famous day, as you know. So for this show, I've got some things planned. I'd like to tell you a little bit about cruise. I'd like to tell you about some training that we had recently in the Army, sexual assault, sexual harassment, maybe a little bit about suicide prevention. And so let's get started. But here comes the dog, and the dog wants to go in. So let me let the dog in. Hold on just a second. I'll bet she'll be knocking on the door to come back out here in just a minute. So I like living with dogs. They come and go, and you got to live with them and cater to their needs, so to speak. Anyway, so the cruise. Well, that was my 25th cruise on board Carnival. 25, that's right, since 2002. Overall, it was my 31st, if my numbering is correct, dating back to 1989 when I was in the Army. I did a few. And then beginning of 2002, only with Carnival, I tried some other cruise lines. Carnival is my favorite cruise line because they're cheap and inexpensive, in other words, and they're friendly, good service, excellent food, and you don't really need to pay any more than Carnival, in my opinion. And so how did it go with the COVID and everything? I'll tell you, it wasn't bad at all. We had to get tested, my wife and I. Originally, I was going to take my stepdaughter and two grandchildren, but one by one, they fell out, and it turned out only to be my wife and myself, and that's okay. Probably would have spent more money if they'd gone. So we had to get tested no more than 3 days before the cruise. And we got tested. We were negative, which is good. Otherwise, we couldn't have gone. And then we had to have been vaccinated. Both my wife and I are vaccinated. We got the Pfizer vaccine back in March. And we had to show proof of that. And then we had to fill out a vaccination survey, do some other stuff. And so we were on board, and I was like, yeah, this is great, because the last cruise we had taken was in November of 19, over Thanksgiving. So it's been a while for someone who's used to cruising once or twice, sometimes three times a year. Because why? Because, in my opinion, it's the perfect vacation value. Now, I know there's a lot of sins involved with a cruise ship, which really you'll find anywhere you go to a resort, especially an all-inclusive resort where the drinks are included. And speaking of drinks, the alcohol, of course, is one of those big sins, you know, one of the seven deadly sins, gluttony and gambling and eating too many sweets. I don't know if that's a sin. I eat some sometimes. We go to dinner. We go to dinner every night. We got in the habit of doing that. And the dining room there is like a five-star dining room. Myself, I'm a eating vegetarian, so, and I have been one for 22 years now, going on 23 years, actually going on 22 years, it's September the 29th. So my options are less, but surprise, surprise, on board a cruise ship, they have a lot of buffets and all kinds of nice dishes that I can eat, and I get sufficient protein, I think, you know, by eating beans. I have baked beans for breakfast, and it's a long story. Oh, here comes one of the dogs. So you just went back in there. What's going on, okay? I've got my show going on here, Shakira, okay? Don't ruin my show. I just wanted to go inside and check, see how everybody was. Oh, okay. So she's out here in the patio with me now. And I remember when I used to eat everything, it was, believe it or not, it makes life a little more difficult when you eat everything because you have all these tremendously delicious dishes, which might not be good for you. I don't know. I'm not a health expert, but, you know, steak, lobster, seafood, fish, chicken, turkey, whatever. I don't have to worry about eating that. I've got one kidney. I think if you've listened to my shows before, you know that that's one of the reasons that I became vegan was because I have only one kidney. I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995. And I was in the Army on active duty. Hey, one of the few people that have done that. And my son, he was 10 months old at the time. That'd be close to one of the youngest people, I don't know, around the world. My son's doing okay, by the way. Thanks to God. Thank you, God. And he's 27 now. He's living in L.A. He is an actor trying to get into the mainstream, you know, acting business, so to speak. Anyway, so back to cruises. And if you're going to get a cruise, let me just give you some advice as a veteran cruiser. Do everything in moderation. Don't deviate too much from your usual routine when you live at home and you're eating your dinners at home and maybe you go out occasionally once or twice a week, whatever. They have, I tell you the truth, I'm not much of a sweet eater myself, but they have the most delicious desserts on board a cruise ship. And that's understandable because they have chefs and they pay big money to cook up the best tasting, most delicious desserts that you'll ever taste. And they're not too sweet usually, and they're very light. So you have to be careful. You don't want to lose your appetite. That's another thing. You eat too many sweets, you're going to lose your appetite. I've seen some people, they live on ice cream all day. I don't know how they feel. Their stomachs might bother them. I don't know. Some seem like they can do it. You know, when you're young, you can do stuff like that. Then you go hang out by the pool, and you can eat hot dogs and hamburgers and french fries and sit in the sun all day, you know. Make sure you have your suntan lotion on, of course. Go swimming. They have a water slide. So moderation is the key, really, when it comes to food. Even with me as a vegan, you know, I know that some desserts aren't vegan. You know, they have dairy in them and a little bit of egg. I don't mind. I make exceptions. Like I said, I'm vegan, vegetarian, not 100% vegan, probably 99.5 or 6, 7, 8. I don't know. And gambling, well, I don't gamble myself, although I did this last time. I wanted to try it out, and I spent, put $20 in, put $40 in. One time, many years ago, I went to Las Vegas, and I won $100 in a nickel slot machine. So I thought I'd try it, and I won a jackpot, a $300 jackpot. I spread it out over a few days. I wound up giving the money to my wife. But be careful on cruise ships. If you're someone that likes to play the casinos, you can wind up spending thousands of dollars, okay? And if you can afford that, that's all right. But you should know that the casinos on cruise ships don't pay out as well as the ones on land. Like close to San Antonio here, there's a casino called the Kickapoo, which is on the Mexican-American border about 2 hours from here. And that casino pays off better than the cruise ship. And especially, you got to take into consideration that Carnival and all cruise lines have been out of business ever since, what, March of 20, so they need to make money back. And I think their psychology, actually, because my wife is running a lot of jackpots, and other people as well, I think they're trying to encourage people to come back to cruising, because we were on board the Carnival Vista, and we had about 3,500 people, so they were at about 60% capacity. They can take like 4,000 people. And so in regard to COVID, I didn't hear anything about COVID. I told you what the restrictions were as far as getting on board. But then also when you're on board, they said inside, you should wear your mask. Most people complied. Some didn't. Some kind of slipped it down underneath their nose. The crew wore their masks all the time. Outside, around the ship, most people didn't wear their masks. You know, like me, I was working out around the track at first. And then I went inside to the gym because I was getting tired of running around in circles. And it was hot outside, so I was using the treadmill. And, of course, I didn't use my mask for that. So most people weren't wearing the masks outside. And also, you got to drink high-quality H2O. They have potable water on board the cruise ships, but I would recommend that you don't drink the water, their water, because you can get sick. You know, it's possible. I've gotten sick before on the cruise, and it's not pleasant. Also, another bit of advice, if you're on a cruise, invest the extra money and get a balcony, you know. You get these interior rooms, yes, they're very inexpensive, a lot more inexpensive, cheaper than a balcony room, but then you rely on the ventilation system of the boat to provide you oxygen during the night, especially, you know, when you're sleeping. And the last time we went in November of 19, my wife was sick, I got sick, we had an interior room. But when you have a balcony room, you can open up the door anytime, during the day or at night, just prop it open with a chair and get that fresh air come in. You know, you've got the air conditioning, which works in this room that we had. It worked really good. It was cold. So they kind of offset each other. But you know, sometimes there's a lot of noise outside, so you close the door anyway. And I love the Carnival beds, you know, the fresh sheets, the comforter, the pillows. Although I've got my own little special pillow, I've got a contour pillow that I use. At least that's what I'm doing right now. I was using their pillows, but I just can't seem to sleep on the side. What works for me is sleeping on my back. I've been a back sleeper for many years. Well, back to the cruise ship. This was the best cruise ship I've ever been on, the newest. And it was decorated in ways that other cruise ships have been aboard haven't been decorated. Being newer, everything was bigger and better. So that's the way to go. That's another recommendation, too. If you cruise, get on board one of the newer ships. Don't get on the old ones. They're small. The bathrooms are really cramped. Sometimes you can't even sit on the toilet and get up without banging something, you know, like the counter for the sink. It's just really small in some bathrooms. The cabins aren't too bad. So with the bigger cruise ships and the newer ones, you have more room altogether. So that's a recommendation. And also, they have a new process now when you get on board. Before, we all had to go and do the lifeboat drill, you know, the fire drill thing, gather all together and stand in a row, you know, all the people packed in like sardines, and then they would give the instructions over the intercom, and there would be crew members who would demonstrate how to put on a life jacket. And that was not very, compatible with social distancing. So they came up with a new method where you go to your muster station, there's people there, crew members who will take you in. You know, they'll wait for some more people to show up. So their goal is to get a group of people at the same time, as many people as possible, and give them the little briefing on how to put on your life jacket and where to go if there's an emergency. And then when they scan your card, when you get on board, you get one of these, they call it a sail and sign card. So they scan your card, and then you get the training, and then you're done. You're annotated as having successfully completed the lifeboat drill. So then you don't have to wait around. You can even do it before the ship takes off. You know, we left at about 4 p.m. Saturday. And we went to Honduras, Isla Roatan, 2 days at the Sunday and Monday, and then we got into Isla Roatan, Honduras. And we didn't get off the boat in any of the three ports. So there was that one, and then there was Belize, and then Cozumel. I've been to Isla Roatan before. I took a lifeboat, a sailboat, and take a drink of water. It was a very beautiful, big sailboat, like a 65-foot sailboat. I think it was by myself back in the early 2000s, before I was married. And they took us to this one little cove, and they had lunch there for us. And then we could grab some snorkeling equipment and go swim out in the bay. And the water visibility was very clear. That's one thing I remember about Honduras. I could see like 50 feet. Sometimes you can barely see in front of you. You know, the waters are all murky and there's mud in it, you know, and you can't see too far, but the visibility is really clear. That's what I remember about Honduras. Belize, I went there one time before also, and I think that was by myself as well. And we went on a howler monkey tour. You always see these howler monkeys in the jungle up in the trees. And if you didn't know that, know this, you got to be careful when you get underneath them because they'll pee. They'll pee on you. They'll do it on purpose too, I think. But we didn't get out there. And then Cozumel, we got there on Thursday. And then I've been to Cozumel like about 20 times at least already. And so we had a good time on the boat, you know, eating. And you could order room service too, which is really cool. It's 24/7 room service. Some things are free, some things aren't. You might have to pay a little bit of money. And then they have a 24/7 pizzeria at the back of the ship, or you can get pizza, like, just before you go to bed, you get a couple of slices of pizza, you know. You've been walking around on board the ship, and you're hungry. Okay, here's another dog coming in. And then the entertainment. The entertainment, take it from me, I'm a veteran cruiser. I've been cruising for a long time. The entertainment, the singing and dancing, is the best you'll see. You won't see really any better even in Las Vegas or on Broadway. I'm telling you the truth. These singers and dancers are super talented. They've always been. Every single cruise ship I've been on, the singing and dancing has been exceptional, exemplary. Yes, these young men and women are from different countries around the world. You know, Ukraine, Russia, Romania, Bulgaria, Germany, England, wherever, but they are very super talented human beings, and especially when it comes to singing and dancing, and they are awesome. I'm always very impressed, you know. And then they have comedy shows on board, so you can catch your comedy show just about every day, maybe two if you want to, and pretty funny stuff. Some of these comedians are well known, you know, they've been on television, on HBO, well-traveled, and they get the crowd rolling and stitches. You know, some of that stuff is hilarious. Then they have the adult comedy, where they use, not afraid to use any kind of vulgar language and sexual stuff, you know, which can be funny sometimes. Other times it's like, oh, man, I've heard that too much. And I like to work out. that's another recommendation if you get on board a cruise ship. And I think I mentioned it before. Keep your appetite up. Oh, I'm being watched by a grasshopper. A huge grasshopper is on the fence. He's looking at me. Moving around. Antenna. Moving. That's okay. There is a huge grasshopper on the fence about 10 feet away, 10, 12, 13 feet away from me. You ever get that feeling of being watched? Well, guess what, my friend? Grasshoppers do have eyes. Yes, isn't God great? God is an eye maker, a body maker, an eye maker. Anyway, we've got another cruise scheduled aboard the same ship for November Thanksgiving. We did have some friends who were supposed to have gone with us on this cruise, but they canceled at the last moment because the Delta variant was surging and they were concerned, and they're old like we are. But I didn't hear anything about COVID, not a thing. No numbers, nobody got sick while we were on board, as far as I know. But do your research, you know. I know that before we cruised, there was talk about like 26 crew members had COVID at one time and some passengers. Occasionally, you know, these cruise ships will come back and they'll have several passengers that got sick, that got COVID. But my friends, that's the reality now on with this very high-tech testing that they do. I still don't know how they differentiate between the flu and COVID, you know, if there is a difference, you know. Well, no, you've got the flu. You got the same symptoms, but you have the flu. That's not COVID. Or you have COVID. You thought you had the flu. Incorrect, wrong answer. You've got COVID. That's what I said, right? Anyway. So I'm not making fun of it. I know people have died, but you just have to be careful. And in my opinion, my friends, this is just Blake's opinion. I think that most people that come down with COVID or the flu or pneumonia, it all starts with eating some food that's bad, food poisoning. You get that food inside you, maybe E. coli, salmonella, and it wreaks havoc on your digestive system, and then your immune system breaks down. The next thing you know, you're coughing, you got a sore throat, your nose starts running, maybe you eat too many sweets, you know, blame it on allergies. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know what I mean? This COVID thing is going to stay with us. You're always going to get it wherever you are, whether it's a cruise ship, wherever. People are going to come down with it. And for some, it's not too bad. Look at President Trump when he was president. He came down with COVID. It was gone in like 2 days. They gave him this really incredible antibiotics, I think it was. Something Tron, Ergotron or whatever. And it worked wonders, a miracle drug, but it went away almost immediately. And his symptoms were very light. Sometimes one symptoms are light, other times not. And getting vaccinated, our command, you know, I work for the Army. That's all I'm going to tell you because it's classified. No, I'm just kidding, but I can tell you that. There's nothing classified about that. But our commander keeps on and on, and I agree with him. You got to get vaccinated. People get vaccinated. You got vaccinated for smallpox. You know, you don't want to get smallpox, chickenpox, the flu, tetanus, polio, whatever. Get a vaccine. You get a vaccine for all these other diseases, illnesses, you know. So what's stopping some people from getting vaccinated for COVID? You know, there's a lot of very smart people out there. You got to give them credit. They do the work, you know. Millions, billions of dollars are put into coming up with a good product. So have a little trust and faith in the system, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of these people that are dying nowadays, the ones that are in the hospital ICUs, guess what? Are unvaccinated. Now, yes, some have been vaccinated, but a small minority. Look at the percentages, you know? And we had a good time on the cruise, and we've got another one scheduled for February out of Cape Canaveral, so we're going to fly. And on this next cruise to Galveston, out of Galveston, we're going to try something a little different. I've already booked some flights for us. We're going to fly to Houston and take a shuttle from Houston to Galveston. It's about a 50-mile each way trip. And that way you don't have to drive and don't have to worry about getting there in time, getting into an accident, having some kind of problem. Because if you don't get there in time, no, they're not going to wait for you. You know, they're going to go at 4 o'clock, head out. If you're not there, too bad. So this next one, after the one after that, is out of Cape Canaveral aboard the Carnival Mardi Gras, which is one of the newest ships. I'm looking forward to that. And then my wife, she played in the casino. And that's a long story. We're going to try to not waste our money on that anymore, suffice it to say, if you know what I mean. But there are some things that they treat you. The cruise lines, the Players Club, as they call it, will give you, like, free dinners. We had a very nice free dinner at a very fancy Asian restaurant, excellent, excellent food and service, with a bottle of wine thrown in. I don't drink. My wife does. A little bit. She's always very sensible when it comes to drinking. And then we had a free dinner for two at their premier steak restaurant. Very fancy. I didn't have steak. My wife, I think she had, I don't eat meat, I told you. She had, I think she had a seafood dish. She didn't have a steak, I can tell you that. Me, I got mushrooms. I think I got mashed potatoes. Thinking I had a salad. I had bread and butter, of course, a little bit of butter. Nothing like fresh bread and a little bit of butter. I don't eat too much, but that's one of my vices. That's why I'm 99.9% vegan, because I have a little bit of butter on freshly baked bread. Imagine, if you will, the smell of freshly baked bread, my friends. Oh, for coffee, freshly brewed coffee, or freshly cooked baked donuts, or popcorn, some of the best smells in the world, right? So anyway, we had dinner in that steak restaurant, and it was, again, excellent food, excellent service. And then she won a free cruise for two with a suite. Not an ordinary room, but a suite. And I've had a suite before. I think they're valued at about $2,500. And just a little different, just a little bit bigger than the room we had, the balcony room. But you don't, that's really a lot of extra money for nothing, in my opinion. The room, the balcony room is sufficient, you know. I think I throw in like a couch, maybe an easy chair, just a little bit bigger, you know, but not worth the extra money, but we'll take it. I think we just have to put a $200 deposit down before the 23rd of September, and then we'll probably book a cruise maybe next June. We want to go to Alaska. We had a cruise scheduled for Alaska during COVID in May of 20, but that was canceled because of COVID. So I've got my sister who lives in Seattle. May God bless her. I haven't seen her for a while, so the plan is we'll drop in, say hello, and then get on board the cruise ship afterwards, like the next day, take the cruise to Alaska, 7-day cruise, come back, and then we can say we did it, you know. I've heard so much about the cruises to Alaska. And then in the future, we're talking about doing a cruise to Australia, you know, in that area of the Pacific Ocean. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sea, ocean, you know, and the islands are beautiful. Palm trees, white sand, beaches, you know. The Pacific is a little bit different than the Caribbean. I haven't seen the Pacific too much, and I like the Caribbean. You know, some of the islands in the Caribbean, my favorite is Grand Cayman. The water there around the island is a color blue that, you remember that song by Enya, Caribbean Blue? It's an awesome song. Check it out. Enya, Caribbean Blue. Beautiful song, like Orinoco Flow, which was her first major hit. And then Caribbean Blue. So, yeah, it's a color blue that you have to see to believe. It's like royal blue. The sunlight sparkles off the water. And the white sandy beaches are just incredible, clean, lovely. So you don't have to take a cruise to go there, but sometimes the cruises do stop in there. Jamaica, too. So as far as a discount, if you want a good price, now if you're looking, just two of you, book a cruise, you get the best discount is the early booking discount. And I should be getting paid by Carnival or some cruise, all the cruise lines to advertise for them, right? Because I'm extolling the virtues of cruising and the wonders and the great things associated with cruising, although you can get sick too, you know, if you're not careful, you know, and do things in moderation, take it from a veteran. But take the best thing is to book the cruise like several months in advance. That way you get the best discount. They also have military discounts, and I'm ex-military, retired Army. And they have senior discounts. I'm a senior. I'm 67. I think you have to be 55. But the best discount is the early booking discount. So 7 months in advance, 10 months, 1 year in advance. You pay a deposit, and then you can pay it off over up until like 60 days before the cruise. You have to have paid it off in full. And then it gives you something to look forward to, you know. Yeah, we got a cruise. We're working on paying it. It's half paid off, whatever. And as I mentioned before, it's a good vacation value. Where else can you go and find a room for you and someone else or however many people for less than $100 a day, room and board, you know, room and all the food with all the entertainment. Some people don't like boats. Me, I love boats. You know, some people get seasick. Well, the boats are so big nowadays that you don't really have to worry about getting seasick because they have stabilizers and you can hardly feel the waves. And we felt a little bit of rocking. You know, there was a hurricane over at the other side of the Gulf, and they predicted rain. I didn't see any rain. It was partially sunny, partially overcast most of the time. But otherwise, the weather was good, you know, hot. And but the water, I think, was just a little bit kicked up from the activity over on the other side of the Gulf, believe it or not, you know, even all those miles away. It still affected it because it's one huge body of water. You got to understand, you know, what's going on at one side, like on the west coast of Florida or on the other side of Florida, will affect what's going on off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula, you know, in subtle, small ways. I mean, I looked at the water in the day and at nighttime. You could tell it wasn't normal. But then when we did get, when we were coming back, when we were further north and going back to Galveston, the water looked really calm, very still. And I don't know what that meant. I think that was before the hurricane hit, Hurricane Ida. That was, you know, hurricanes will do that. They'll affect the water in different ways. It could be really choppy or it can be really calm, you know, like something's about to happen. Anyway, I'm sorry for all those people that suffered through Ida, you know, and they had Katrina all those years ago, back in 2005. Anyway, so now let me change subjects and go to sexual assault and sexual harassment. We had this training the other day, an hour and a half training, which we have to do once a year. Well, I was thinking, and I can express my opinion now. No one's listening, I think. Although there might be somebody from, people know about my radio talk show, Gods and Goddesses, my friends. Why is that? Because we are gods in the making. Yes. Not through this life, but through a continued process of lifetimes being born on different planets. Like this planet you were born into, you will be born into another planet, my friend. Yeah. I'm telling you the truth. Reincarnation is real. It's true. But getting back to the sharp training, I'm going to tell you a little story. And I mentioned this, you know, there's like 300 plus people who are attending the training. And I said, well, I got my chance to talk because I heard the guy getting his briefing and it was kind of boring and redundant, like I've heard before, the usual stuff. And he was saying some things about, which were kind of graphic in nature, choosing at will, you know, what he wanted to talk about. I don't know. He seemed kind of emotionless about everything. And it was boring. It's the same kind of training that I heard before. They say the numbers are going up, you know, especially in the Army, in the military. The sexual assault numbers are rising. Well, why doesn't somebody do something? You know, this same old training we have doesn't fix the problem, you know? So I said, well, I took him on a little journey into the past. I will elaborate a little bit more. Hold on. Then what I did with them, when I was on my senior high school trip in Guadalajara, Mexico, we went to the coast to a beautiful resort called Malacque on the Pacific coast. And so I was there with my senior class. It was 1973. And I'm going to try to keep the story short. How am I doing on time? 6:39. Okay, I got about 20 minutes. Well, there was a bay, and around the bay, it was like a horseshoe bay. There was a large clumping of rocks. And my English teacher, two Mexican twins who were in our class, and a girl by the name of Susan Cromlin decided, they asked me if I wanted to go with them because I'd just been swimming over there with a friend. We swam across the bay. Hey, shark, and there were sharks in that bay, but we were brave, you know. We took a chance. So they said, we want to go watch the sunset. Will you come with us, please? You know, because you were just over there and you could help us, you know. So I said, okay. So we headed out and we got to the point where we were able to watch the sunset and it started getting dark pretty quickly. So they hung around there and they were just taking in the beauty. And then we started coming back and it was getting dark. So I was leading the way, Susan behind me. I had the English teacher and the Mexican twins, Ruby and Esmeralda, they were bringing up the rear. But all of a sudden, I heard some screaming. And I heard Susan screaming. And I ran back. I thought, what could it be? Did she step on a scorpion, maybe? So I come back, and in the kind of twilight, there is a guy. She's down on the ground, and there's a man bending over her. And he ripped her bikini top. She had a bikini top on. Rips it off in front of my eyes. So I come up to him, and I push off her. You know, gave him a pretty good push. Well, he gets up and swings and punches me right in the face. I didn't block it. I should have blocked it, but I didn't. Pow! Hit me in the face. So then all of a sudden, something tells me, Blake, you got to be careful with how you proceed here, because this guy is a husky Mexican fisherman, a full-grown man. I'm just a 17-year-old skinny high school senior, you know? So I started talking with him. And I don't know why, but I started telling him some lies. So don't ever let people tell you that sometimes it's not a good thing to lie, even though we shouldn't. And I'm a very honest person now. I wasn't always. Back then, I said, please, don't touch her. She's my girlfriend. We're going to get married. I don't know why I thought of that. He just kind of ignored me. He ripped the bikini bottom off, you know, and I could tell something down there. And so I keep saying, look, hey, if you want a prostitute, I'll go into town together. We'll have a beer. I'll pay for a prostitute for you. Please don't touch her. She's my girlfriend. We're going to get married. And then the Mexican twins and the English teacher, they were kind of at the bottom of this little knoll. They hadn't caught up, and they heard what was going on, and I think they were frightened. You know, they didn't want to jump into the situation. They didn't know what was going on exactly. But then they caught wind of what I was saying, and they were saying, yeah, leave her alone, and that kind of stuff. And so finally, he gets up, and he says in Spanish, ya estuvo, which means I've had enough, and he walks off. So there's Susan, no clothes on. And he goes the way in the direction that we were supposed to go, the way we had come. So I looked at them, and I said, hey, we don't want to go that same way that he's gone. Well, let's jump in the water and swim across the bay. Which is what we did. We made it safely. Hey, no sharks, thank God. We get over to the shore in front of the resort. And one of the I think Mexican twins goes in. They tell some of the classmates to come back with a towel. They go and they wrap Susan up because, you know, she didn't have a bathing suit. She was naked. And so the hotel called the police. The police came to talk with them. We went to bed, woke up in the morning. There was a knock on the door. There were the police. They'd woken us up, and they had a guy there, and they said, "Is this the guy? Can you identify him?" I looked at him. I walked around, kind of shaking the sleep off me, you know, rubbing my eyes, because it was kind of dark at the time. And I recognized his crew cut. He was about the right build, short, stocky, muscles, you know. I said, "This guy, he's actually sexually assaulted, raped a woman before, or maybe more than one." And I said, yeah, that's him. That's him. Okay, well, you have to come down to the police station to fill out a report. I said, "I can't do it because our bus is scheduled to go back to Guadalajara." So that's the way we left it, you know. It probably didn't handle him too well. I don't know. Back then, I won't speculate as to what actually happened to the guy. He seemed to be a little bit, what's the word? Yeah, I think he had a mental disorder, mentally retarded. They don't call it now mentally retarded, mentally challenged. But guess what? After that, my senior classmates treated me like a hero. They thought I was a nobody, a zero. And all of a sudden, I was a hero in their eyes, and they all were giving me these great compliments on being brave and helping out. So I told a little bit of that story at the sexual assault and sexual harassment training. And then I said something that later on I would find that I would get some complaints from some of my fellow employees there, that 300-plus. I said, one solution is, you know, because the numbers are always rising, it seems. The Army needs to think, and I'm kind of adding on things here, not only the Army and the military, but everyone in general needs to think outside the box a little bit in regard to sexual assault. Now, I myself, as I've just told you, I'm a person that has come to the rescue of a woman who was about to be raped and stopped that from happening. I would do it again. I was lucky not to get seriously hurt. Later, I found out that Mexican fisherman had a machete, and he was not afraid to use it, you know what I mean. So, also, if I, like, hit him back, we could have got into a fisticuffs, maybe, and he would have kicked my butt really good, you know? And then might have even killed me. So I said, and I've known some, without going into the details, there have been some very close people in my life that have gotten raped. And so I said, one thing we can do is for women to take self-defense classes. Well, that caused a you-know-what storm afterwards. They were saying, how can you say that? Well, you know, the training that they're giving us isn't working. The numbers are rising. You know, we need someone to step up and tell women, you know, defend themselves. I mean, they told this guy who gave the briefing, said there was one case of a woman, she just froze. She was so scared she froze, and then she was raped. Well, that's what happens. You see, these sexual predators, they feed on fear. So you need to build up a little self-confidence. Myself, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. I got one back in 1988 when I was in Korea for the Army. So I know some self-defense. I mean, it's possible that in an emergency situation, I wouldn't use it effectively. Then again, I might. You know, I try not. I've never hit anybody in anger in my life. I've been hit by a few people. I told you one instance there. And there was one time a friend and I got into a fight, and he hit me in the face to begin with. I wrestled him down the ground. I held my punch. I could have punched him in the face, you know, because I wrestled him down. I was on top of him. I could have beat him, but I didn't. I think God respects that. You know, don't hit people when you can talk things over. Case in point, what I did with that man there, I didn't get involved in the fight. But you also have to build up some confidence. Self-defense classes will do that. Being good at self-defense will help. But anyway, so then I complained back to the trainer, and I said, come on, don't give me that. You know, and then they were saying, hey, men get raped too. And I said, don't give me that. You know, I said, a very small percentage are men who get raped. The majority are women. Don't try to sugarcoat that, you know, or hide that. The fact is that most of the people getting raped are women. So what can we do? I said, also, alcohol. In most cases, I'd be willing to bet that alcohol is involved with that. So women, be careful when drinking. Drink in moderation. Stay in control. And that caused you-know-what storm as well. And that wasn't my intention. You know, I meant no harm to anybody. I didn't get a chance to defend myself. It was only afterwards I found out that these people had emailed the trainer and told him, why did Blake say that? You know, that wasn't diplomatically correct to say that. And I was like, oh, come on. You missed my point, you know. Trying to help. So I came up with a new saying, friends don't let friends get sexually assaulted. You like that? Friends don't let friends get sexually assaulted. Taking off that, friends don't let friends drive drunk. You know, all we have to do, people, is just watch each other, look out for each other, have each other's backs. If you know someone who's going to a party and there's going to be a lot of drinking, just say, hey, you know, be careful. You know, don't get drunk. And watch out for Johnny. I've seen him when he's drunk and he's a monster. You know, be careful with him. And so, yes, alcohol. Alcohol is at the bottom of all bad things in life, my friends. Some people maybe drink in moderation. Other people don't. Myself, I no longer drink. So I can take it from experience. I'll tell you from experience that alcohol is a curse. And I'm sorry to burst your bubble if you like a glass of wine occasionally, but it's actually been a curse of this world. Even just a little bit will get you in trouble. And case in point, all these sexual assaults, all these suicides, I guarantee most of them are alcohol related. Now, I can't tell you what to do. You have free will. You're a co-creator God in the making. You will do what you want to do. I'm just saying, this is my opinion, okay? I'm putting it out there. And what else did I say? I said they should do quarterly training instead of once a year. You know, this every once in a while, an hour and a half class. Come on, how can you expect results? How can you expect results when you only do it once a year? Do it once a quarter, and then instead of having these boring slides and the usual rhetoric, you know, about a guy who has no emotion or passion. I don't know if he's a sexual predator himself, you know. He's using a lot of ums and ahs. Every other word has an um or ah in between. So that's being a toastmaster, you know. It's what they call coherent thought and speech, a correlation between the two. You're not supposed to use a lot of ums and ahs when you talk. Supposed to pause, take your time if you need to, but don't. I went down to the store to get some bread, and I saw a friend there, and somebody that talks like that doesn't stimulate my intellect, you know what I'm saying? So that guy who's giving the training, how do I know he's not a sexual predator? We have to ask these hard questions, my friends, you know? The people who we think are straight and honest politicians, case in point, some of these politicians that later on we find that they've been involved in sexually immoral behavior. Surprise, surprise. You thought that you knew them. Well, you didn't. So we have to ask that hard question in order to make sexual assault stop. You have to question the trainer, question everybody. So have this quarterly training. And then open it up. Oh, you should have seen. You know, once they put a question, people would raise their hands. You know, we were on Microsoft Teams. And why? Because people love to hear themselves talk, just like me. I've got an hour show. It's great. You ought to have one, too. On BBS Radio, get your own show. Talk for an hour. It's the greatest thing in the world. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, any subject. So they asked these questions, and all these hands went up, you know, because the heart starts beating faster, the adrenaline starts, I'd like to hear myself talk, you know, in this challenging situation with 300 people listening. And that's where the real action is, my friend, you know. And that's when you can brainstorm all these solutions to problems, whether it's sexual assault, suicide prevention, get a lot of people involved, come up with some good ideas, document them, put them in a newsletter. You know, when I was in this Toastmasters Club on Fort Sam Houston, we had a guy named Rudy. And he's an excellent musician and an excellent artist. And when he joined our club, he started making this newsletter, taking photographs of people. People love to see themselves, you know, writing articles about people. I would help them. So we published this newsletter, and our membership in the club increased incredibly. So I'm saying, with a newsletter, with photographs of people and articles, ideas taken from the training, the body training, they can come up with some really good ideas on how to stop sexual assault, you know, let people know that we're thinking about it, we're thinking about them, we want to have each other's back, we want to look out for each other, we don't want people to get sexually assaulted, we don't want our mother or our sister or our brother, anybody to be sexually assaulted, you know, and it's really a sign of a society within the throes of a slow evolutionary process. Because you have to admit, we've come a long way since the Dark Ages, since even when Jesus walked this earth, you know, he performed all those miracles, which nobody can deny, right? Even someone who doesn't believe in Jesus as being the Son of God, they'll say that he's a prophet, but will they question the miracles that he performed? Usually not. You know, and that's one thing I like about the Bible. I might not agree with everything the Bible says, because I think it's just a book, and God didn't write it himself. And man back then was as fallible and as unreliable as we are today. What makes them more special than the way we are today? If anything, they were behind us, not only technologically, but spiritually back 2,000 years ago. But what I like best, what I love best about the Bible, it's an account of divine intervention like never before recorded in the history of our world. What went on with Moses parting the Red Sea? I could go on and on. I can explain all of this to you. When Jesus came, the raising... Okay, thanks. Lazarus being raised from the dead. And, of course, the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection. We don't need to know if Jesus died for our sins, because then you're assuming that Adam and Eve really did happen, which I don't believe, and I'm entitled to my opinion. But if you don't believe that, then you don't need to believe that he died for our sins. But if you want to believe that, that's okay. Like I said, you're a co-creator, God in the making. You have free will. You can believe that if you want. You have your own opinion that you're entitled to. The resurrection was the greatest miracle ever. That's what I focus on, the miracles that Jesus performed. Nothing else. So I've only got a little bit of time left, my friends. I hope you enjoyed my show. And I love you. If I offended you, I'm sorry. You know, remember, we all have our opinions. So I enjoyed this show. I look forward to talking with you next Saturday. In the meantime, may the creator of the universe bless you and keep you safe and well. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.